So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Katie or Caitlin, I go by either. And I'm going to share just a piece of my testimony tonight, just a glimpse of my life story. I don't have time to tell the whole thing, it's really complex. But really it's God's story and not mine. So I grew up in the church, but I didn't have a personal connection with God. It was just kind of something that my family did. Then when I was 12, my parents got divorced under biblical grounds for divorce. And my family switched churches just because it was too hard on my mom to keep going to the church she had been going to when married. I, however, did not. I continued to go with my grandparents. I'm not the kind of person who really likes change, and I can be quite stubborn about it, so I basically refused to switch churches when my family asked me to. Then one week, my grandparents were out of town, so I was forced to go with my family. And I saw modern worship for the first time. So I grew up in a fairly conservative congregation with hymns only, so this worship was new to me, but I could see with the worship leaders that they were having a personal connection with something out there, and it was foreign to me, but I saw that it was something real. In particular, the drummer really stood out to me because I didn't understand how you could drum, and at the same time, it was like he was having an interaction with another person, and it was just new to me. So I'd pinpoint that as my moment of salvation, but of course, it takes a lot longer to actually get to know Jesus than to just have that moment of realization that he's a real person that actually exists. So for the next few years, I was heavily involved in the church, and Sunday school, worship teams, summer camps, door greeting, church cleaning, you name it, and I was probably part of it in some way, shape, or form. Then university came. I had a lot of family stuff going on and just hardship all over the place, which eventually would lead to my brother ending up in jail, and I gave up. I just lost hope that God could get me through it. I questioned his faithfulness and his goodness, and I ran away. For the next 2 years, I tried to do things on my own. I ended up in a sexual relationship with an atheist and basically just did a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing. Then one of my close Christian friends got married. I had served alongside her for many years, and being at her wedding stirred up reminders of all that I had left behind, and it just brought up a lot of emotions about my past. That evening at the reception, Jarrett Horseman invited me to the College and Careers Bible Study here at Bethel. And it was the first invite I had gotten over those 2 years that didn't involve any blame. It didn't involve a conversation about why I should be going to church or why I was in the wrong for not going to church. It was the first invite that was just kind of like, hey, would you like to come? So I decided I would go, but I knew that I had to end my relationship if I was going to get right with God. The very next time I saw my ex, I broke up with him. A few days later, I went to the College and Careers Bible study for the first time, and that was in June. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Haggai. My testimony is actually very closely tied to this book, even though I didn't really know it when it was going on. And it's about 20 pages before the New Testament, roughly. So for those of you who are not familiar with the book of Haggai, Haggai is a book of the Old Testament that focuses on rebuilding the temple. The Jews had got back from Jerusalem after being in Persia, but for a while had neglected to rebuild the temple, which was in ruins. The book of Haggai focuses on them finally deciding to rebuild the temple, and the temple was God's dwelling place on earth. So now, for those of you that are familiar with the New Testament, you will recall that in the New Covenant, our bodies became the temple. So when Jesus died, taking the punishment for our sins, the veil was torn in two. Now, the veil was like this giant curtain that separated everyone from the Holy of Holies. So the Holy of Holies was God's residing place on earth. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and this happened once a year, and there were a lot of rituals that had to go along with that in order for him to be able to go past the veil into the Holy of Holies. So the torn veil symbolizes that we now have access to God. In the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit is sent to dwell in us, so anyone who is in Christ, Christ is in, and they become the temple, or we become God's dwelling place. So I'm just going to go over a different passage of scripture really quickly to illustrate how we transition between this Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 15, it says this. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, or another word for temple, that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, which would have been part of the ritual for the high priest to get through to the Holy of Holies, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So basically, Jesus was the once-for-all sacrifice. So we have constant access to the Holy of Holies now. So some verses on the concept of being the temple. Now, these are throughout the whole New Testament, but I just chose two, and I strongly recommend reading them in context, but for time's sake, I'm just going to read the verses. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "For we are a temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." So our bodies are the temple, and this temple was definitely in ruins. In Haggai, some of the dates recorded as they worked on the temple actually match my own story. So Haggai 1:13-15 says this. "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. 'I am with you,' declares the Lord. 'So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius.'" So that date in June is actually the match to the date of my first day of singleness, which is really cool because God built on my singleness and not the brokenness of my past. So I went to Bible study off and on for the summer, and by fall I was wanting to get right with God again, but I wasn't sure how to do that. I was just desperate for a deeper sense of his presence. One night, I had a very intense spiritual dream. When I woke up, I literally fell to my knees. And I grew up in really conservative congregations, so kneeling isn't custom for those churches that I grew up in, and it still kind of feels like a bit of a foreign concept to me. But it was just an automatic response to the dream, and it just sort of happened. So I found myself on my knees asking God what he wanted me to do to get back to him. I received what might seem like a simple answer: talk to Rejan. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rejan leads the College and Careers Bible Study. So, now, back in high school, I had once heard Rejan speak and added him to Facebook. As a teen, I would go to him for biblical advice and counsel, but had intentionally avoided speaking to him in person. I'd also managed to avoid speaking to him at Bible study up to that point as well. He represented my past, who I was before I walked away, and I didn't want to face that, because facing that would require admitting what I gave up and all that I had left behind. It would basically require owning up to my mistakes, and sometimes that can be a really difficult thing to do. I chose to follow God's direction, trust him, and act in obedience. That was the 24th of September when I followed through with that. So Chapter 2, verse 15 and 19 says, "Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all of the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you." So my obedience to God laid the foundation, enabling me to rebuild the rest of the temple, or rather allowing God to rebuild, with Christ as the cornerstone of that foundation. From there, I was able to begin to truly accept the grace Christ has to offer, although I'm still learning the depths of this each and every day. I came across Haggai that October, but I didn't really make the connection. The first couple times God brought me to the book, I just kind of like skimmed over it, and God just kept bringing me back there. But as I said before, I can be a really stubborn person, and sometimes it takes God a little while to get through to me because I'm not listening. And it wasn't until November that I really understood and things began to click. When I first realized, I was just in complete awe. So the book of Haggai was written approximately 500 years before Christ, which means that God planned my story over 2,500 years in advance, which is just completely humbling. So Haggai 1, verses 7 to 8 says this. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord." So that's basically where I am at now. I'm just continuing to build. I'm sure throughout life there will always be renovations to be done and that it will be a lifelong process of work, but I'm looking forward to it. Next year I'm taking a year off to write a fictional faith-based novel and volunteer around the city. I plan on using the experience of my rebellion as inspiration for some of my novels so that others can hopefully indirectly learn from some of my mistakes and they won't go to waste. I have great hope for whatever God has for my future, and I just want to leave you with one final passage. Haggai 2, verses 6 to 9 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." So when you're not right with God, peace is really hard to come by. And sure, sometimes it seems like it's there, but it's very surface level. It's not that deep, penetrating, indescribable peace that God has to offer. It's not real peace. It's like an illusion of peace. For anyone who's struggling, I want to encourage you that as long as you are still breathing, it is never too late to begin to build or rebuild. If it was possible for me, then it's possible for you. Nothing's impossible with God, and that peace can be your peace too. And that's all.